God is good, isn't he? And he is the way maker. And he is on the move, as in C.S. Lewis said, Aslan is on the move. This morning, title is, He is Our King. And the third story of The Lord of the Rings is titled, The Return of the King. And so there's a little clip here I want to, or a little quote I want to read to you. This is from the story of Lord of the Rings. Gandalf, I thought you were dead, but then I thought I was dead myself. Is everything sad going to come untrue? What's happened to the world? A great shadow has departed, said Gandalf. And then he laughed, and the sound was like music, or like water in a parched land. And as he listened, the thought came to Sam that he had not heard laughter, the pure sound of merriment, for days upon days without count. It fell upon his ears like the echo of all the joys he had ever known. J.R.R. Tolkien. So what do you imagine it will feel like when the human race will be whole and glorious once more, striding through the new earth as sons and daughters of God? Just imagine. Well, Psalms 72 is a prayer that David prays for his son, Solomon. Solomon is the one to become king after David. He is becomes one of the wealthiest and most wise king. And David prays for him in this psalm. And it is also a prayer, not just for Solomon, but it is a prayer for the Messiah, the coming king, the king who will come and reign on this earth forever and ever. Amen. Forever, as for eternity. And so I want to read to you Psalm 72. It's a little bit long, but I think it's for you and I, it'd be good for us to read it, for me to read it. Verse 1 of 72. Give your love of justice to the king, O God, and righteousness to the king's son. Help him judge your people in the right way. Let the poor always be treated fairly. May the mountains yield prosperity for all, and may the hills be fruitful. Help him to defend the poor, to rescue the children of the needy, and to crush their oppressors. May they fear you as long as the sun shines, as long as the moon remains in the sky. Yes, forever. May the king's rule be refreshing, like spring rain on freshly cut grass, like the showers that water the earth. May all the godly flourish during his reign. May there be abundant prosperity until moon is no more. May he reign from sea to sea and from the Euphrates rivers to the ends of the earth. Desert nomads will bow before him. His enemies will fall before him in dust. The western kings of Tarshish and other distant lands will bring him tribute. The eastern kings of Sheba and Seba will bring him gifts. All kings will bow before him, and all nations will serve him. He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed, who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. Long live the king! May the gold of Sheba be given to him. May the people always pray for him and bless him all day long. May there be abundant grain throughout the land, flourishing even on the hilltops. May the fruit trees flourish like the trees of Lebanon, And may the people thrive like grass in a field. May the king's name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun shines. May all nations be blessed through him and bring him praise. Praise the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does such wonderful things. Praise his glorious name forever and ever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. William Penn once wrote, "Men must be governed by God, or they will be ruled by tyrants." History has proven this. We have seen rulers come and rule poorly and destructively. And in Daniel 2, 44 through 45, Daniel is interpreting a dream for Nebuchadnezzar. And it tells us that one day there will be a complete downfall of all human government. Verse 44, "During the reigns of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. It will crush all these kingdoms into nothingness, and it will stand forever." So Daniel 7 also talks about all the kings and all the governments. And it tells us about the Nebuchadnezzars and the Dariuses and the Alexanders and the Neros and the Napoleons and the Hitlers and the Castros that have failed miserably. And God will step into human history again, and this time he will set up an ideal government that will last forever. Now, in your mind, and in my mind, it's hard to conceive that. But this is what God's word says. That God will step into human history and he will establish his kingdom, which he has already stepped into history and begun that kingdom 2,000 years ago. But he is continually doing his kingdom work. And one day it will be a physical kingdom, literal kingdom on this earth. Daniel 7:27 says, "Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all kingdoms under heaven will be given to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will last forever, and all rulers will serve and obey him." And so Psalm 72 gives us a picture of what that kingdom will look like. And I want to break that down into four categories. Number one, he will rule with all authority. He will rule with all authority. He will rule with righteousness. He will rule with compassion. And he will rule with blessings. And so David is praying this prayer for Solomon, but he's also praying this prayer for the Messiah, the king that will come, and may this is what he says, may he rule with all authority. And so we may not understand this completely. We may wonder, but it's a reminder that God places into authority who he wants to be in authority. And so we talked about this a few weeks ago, that he has all sovereignty. He has all authority over everything. He controls the course of world events, and he removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. This is Daniel 2, verse 21 and 22. He reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in darkness, though he is surrounded by light. Jesus is the coming king. And Jesus will establish all authority over every kingdom over every king, over every ruler. Psalms 103:19, another one that says that he has all authority. The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there he rules over everything. All rulers are, every single ruler. I'm talking kingdom words right now, but every governor, every president, every dictator, every leader in our government is placed in power and authority by God, even though we don't necessarily like every one of them. But God has ordained human authority. And so, in God's kingdom, He has representatives. He has representatives on earth to preserve order and to maintain discipline. And Romans 13:1 reminds us that we need to carefully submit and honor and respect authority that God has placed in power. And so Romans 13:1 says, everyone must submit to governing authority, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. And so this is why it is so important for us, and I'll get to this throughout today, is for us to pray for our leaders, to pray for our kings. We call them governors and presidents and the Supreme Court, because in the kingdom perspective, the king would do all of that. The king would be the Supreme Court. The king would be the judicial, deciding and making the laws and the policies. The king would rule. And we have different categories in our government, and those are all categories that we should be praying for God's righteousness. The psalmist is praying that the king will rule in righteousness. Now, I believe we've seen an awakening. We have seen, because of this year of turmoil, I have seen believers become alive and realize that they need to step up and to step into God's kingdom and to begin to pray. And I believe that God has used this time to remind us that we are kingdom participants, that we can pray for God's righteousness, that we can pray for all His authority. And so believers can speak up for God's kingdom, can speak into situations in practical ways, to serve their community and make a difference. And so we need to pray for all his authority and pray for his righteousness. Proverbs 14:34 says, godliness makes a nation great, but sin is a disgrace to any people. And so, you know, America is not perfect, but God has put specific believers in places to speak into areas to build God's kingdom and to do their part. And so I believe that God is waking us up to do that, to be a part of that, to pray for His king and His kingdom to come. Those in leadership need our prayer for support and for guidance and for wisdom and for God's righteousness and His rule. But one day, Jesus will come and He will take the throne and He will rule in full power. But until then, His kingdom will be extended through each person, each of us, working through us towards righteousness and justice. That is His kingdom work. And he will do that. He will rule in all authority and he will rule in all righteousness. It says in verse 5 through 7 of Psalm 72, may they fear you as long as the sun shines, as long as the moon remains in the sky, yes, forever. May the king's rule be refreshing like spring rain on freshly cut grass, like the showers that water the earth. May all the godly flourish during his reign. May there be abundant prosperity until the moon is no more. If you've had anxiety lately, if you've had unrest, God's kingdom brings peace. His kingdom will rule everywhere, and there will be abundance of peace as long as the sun and moon last until the new heavens and the new earth. Meaning the 1,000 years of rain on this earth before God creates a new heaven and a new earth. And I'm guessing, I'm just speculating, but when that new heavens and new earth is created that or renewed, that he will be on the throne as well. And there won't be any other problems, right? Like we have today. Because he will have full rule. And so only under the Messiah's rule, his kingship, there will be true peace. You know, evil leaders encourage lies. They encourage deception. They encourage selfishness and corruption. And they make peace impossible. But one day God's peace will be here on this earth. There's a guy named Edward Hicks who painted almost 100 pictures of, and one of them was this, the peaceable kingdom. And it comes out of Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. As you can look at it, there's beasts laying down with other beasts that don't like each other, right? Like the lion and the cow and the leper and the sheep and the children, and then there's the bear on my right, and then in the back you see Native Americans and you see pilgrims. They're having this meal together, this community together, and it's all what Isaiah 11, 6 through 9 is saying. Let's put that up there. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion. And the little child will lead them all. The cow will graze near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. Peace is what will come with God's kingdom. And we want that, don't we? We desire that. We want God's kingdom to come, not just physically, but spiritually. Now, come, Lord Jesus, bring your kingdom here to this earth. So peace is not just the absence of war, but it is a state of well-being enjoyed by those who trust him. We can have peace. Let the peace, Leviticus tells us that the peace is the result of righteousness. Leviticus 26, it says, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you the seasonal rains. The land will then yield its crops and the trees of the field will produce their fruit. That your threshing season will overlap with grape harvest. with the grape harvest. Your grape harvest will overlap with the season of planting grain. You will eat your fill and live securely in your own land. I will give you peace in the land, and you will be able to sleep with no cause for fear. I will rid the land of wild animals and keep your enemies out of your land. So if you follow me, if you trust me, I will give you these things. So God's eternal kingdom gives us peace. It gives us blessings. And one day we will have a visible aspect. We will see the visible kingdom on this earth. And the blessings continue to flow. And he will bring comfort. And he will bring refreshing. And he will bring healing. And he will give people newness of life. Now today, righteousness is persecuted. But one day, righteousness in God's rule will flourish. Godliness, honesty, justice, generosity, faithfulness, and love will bring blessings for those who practice them. But one of the problems we have in our time is we are not fully engaged in God's kingdom. We as people, we fail to reverence God, and we fail to honor those in authority. And so King Solomon possessed, in this text, he possessed all of the land that the Lord promised to Abraham. He reigned over a wide territory, and the psalmist says that may the king rule all dominion, that he will govern all lands without rival. May his dominion stretch from sea to sea, from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. And Solomon did get a glimpse of that. But this passage is prophetic about the Messiah who will reign over all. It says desert nomads will bow before him. His enemies will fall before him in the dust. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Philippians 2, 10 through 11. That even the rebels, even those that are against Christ, will bow. And so now is the time to receive Christ. Now is the time to examine your heart. Is there any resistance to his lordship? Because he will be king. He is king. He is our king. And our choice as humans is either to accept him or reject him. Because his kingdom will be established and he will rule. He will rule in all authority. He will rule in all righteousness. And he will rule with all compassion. As you see in verse 12 and through 14, it talks about his compassion. He will defend the poor, those who are oppressed, people in need, the unloved and the unwanted. John Stott said this. He says, we can as humans can approach the poor and the oppressed in three ways. Number one, we can statistically approach them, which is cold and detached. It's a detached observation with not much personal involvement. Number two, we can approach the poor and the oppressed with this emotional approach, which sometimes gives action, but it's emotional. And so we are discouraged because we don't know where to start. Or number three, we can approach the poor and the oppressed scripturally, where we seek to understand God's perspective and we're open to his Holy Spirit. So when Jesus was on this earth, he was ready to hear the cries of people. He was ready to help the oppressed. He was ready to turn towards them and be there for them. He spoke to them with respect and love. And Jesus made time for them, and he was approachable. And we see this in many ministries today. We see mercy ministries that exist, like Samaritan's Purse and rescue missions and One Shelter and Salvation Army and Shem. And they're all doing what Jesus said to do, and that was to reach out to those who are poor in spirit. But apart from God's grace, all of us are spiritually lacking. But we can be conduits of God's love and his care and his compassion. Now, only God can provide hunger for righteousness, and he is the only one who can deliver from guilt and the consequences of sin, or to deliver them from spiritual poverty. But we can be those conduits that God wants to use to show that love and to give that grace. And so this psalm is a prayer for that king to bring all authority and righteousness and compassion to this world and ultimately to his kingdom one day. And so under the Messiah, human life is valued and protected, and every spiritual and material need will be fully provided in his kingdom. These things, this is his will. This is what he wants to establish. And so number one, may he rule with all authority. Number two, may he rule with all righteousness. Number three, may he rule with all compassion. And number four, may he rule with blessings. The rule of the Messiah, the ruling of the Messiah gives us hope, because one day it will happen. Verse 15 gives us this perspective. Let's put verse 15 back up there. That's 16. May there be abundant grain throughout the land, flourishing. Let's back up. Long live the king. May the gold of Sheba be given to him. May the people always pray for him and bless him all day long. May there be abundant grain throughout the land, flourishing even on the hilltops. May the fruit trees flourish like the trees of Lebanon, and may the people thrive like grass in the field. God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. He wants, because we are his children. And one day he will reign, and we will give him all the praise, like we are today. But we will give him all the honor, and we will bless him willingly because he has given us so much. Because people have been freed from sin, and their misery will be completely gone. The earth also will be liberated. Romans 8:22, bringing in suffering will be delivered. All the suffering will be delivered from the curse. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. But God will relieve that groaning. And so in the Messiah's reign, prosperity will result from righteousness and peace. His name will endure forever. Verse 17. So at the end of five books, if you remember seeing the video a few weeks ago, at the end of the five books of Psalms, it ends with a formal statement at the end of those five books. His name will endure forever. Let's put 17 up there. May there be... 17. May the king's name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun shines. May all the nations be blessed through him and bring him praise. Praise the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does such wonderful things. And so it is clear that in Scripture that the present society that we live in is unacceptable. Meaning that the way that we have sin and consequences and division and things that are going on in our world that are falling apart. That's not how God wants it to be. His kingdom, he wants to establish his kingdom, and it will have peace, and it will have righteousness, and it will have justice, and it will have all the things that you and I desire to have as his children. And so God wants to establish that kingdom that he started to establish 2,000 years ago. That there will be a new order of truth and goodness and justice, and those things will prevail. And it will be ruled by a good and gracious king. The promise, these promises help us to have hope. So what do we do? As we know one day this kingdom will physically come, what is our part now? I'll just give you three things. Number one, participate. To participate in God's kingdom. Now, you can't be a critic and not be involved. You can't sit on the sidelines and criticize or critique unless you are part of the game. And so, in a practical way, you can help make things better. You can participate in God's kingdom. Number two, pray. God reminds us through this passage, as David is praying for his son Solomon, and he's praying for the ultimate king coming, the Messiah, he's praying that his authority and his kingdom would come. So I don't know mentally what you think of when you think of God's kingdom come, his will be done. If you think, yeah, when I die in that kingdom, or do you pray for his kingdom today to come? As in this place, may he come and his presence be known and his will be done. And so we should be praying, as you have been, I'm sure. But pray that his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the third one is anticipate. We live in expectation that Christ will do what he says he will do and he will come again. So, realistically, we're unable to, in our power, bring God's righteousness. And in reality, we're unable in our power to transform the world and establish his kingdom, his righteousness. But we shouldn't sit and wait. Because Scripture says we are the light of the world. Only because Jesus is the light, right? But we are the light of the world because he lives in us. We are the salt of the earth because Christ lives in us. And so what do we do in the meantime? We help the poor and the oppressed. We pray for God's kingdom to come and his will be done. Hassel Bullock is a scholar who wrote this. While each of us identifies with a nation, we must always remember that our primary allegiance is not to state, but to the Lord. We are Christians first. People of the Bible first and foremost. When our nation turns its back on justice and God's way, then we need all the more to speak loudly and boldly for kingdom principles. And I would add in that, pray for godly principles and for godly leadership and for righteousness in our leaders. And as John says in Revelation, he gives us a picture of one day when the king does come. He says this, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dripped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this written, his name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isn't that cool? And I don't know about you, but it is a good reminder to look at his word today and to realize that this is coming to fruition. That this is coming soon. It's imminent. Are you with me in this? May his kingdom come. May his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'll give you this last quote from C.S. Lewis. Wrong will be right when Aslan comes in sight. At the sound of his roar, sorrows will be no more. When he bares his teeth, winter meets its death. And when he shakes his mane, we shall have spring again. I hope that gives you hope this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you this morning for orchestrating your kingdom. And we pray for the King to come. May he rule in all authority. May he rule in all righteousness and justice. May he rule with compassion and grace. May he rule with all blessings to all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.